ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 3, text 20. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Karmanaiva hisangsidhim astitha janakadayaha loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartam arhasi. Translation. Kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating people in general, you should perform your work. Purport. Kings like Janak were all self-realized souls. Consequently, they had no obligation to perform the prescribed duties in the Vedas. Nonetheless, they performed all prescribed activities just to set examples for the people in general. Janaka was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Rama. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated, but because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, every effort was made to avoid the war, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the other party was determined to fight. So, for such a right cause, there is a necessity for fighting. Although one who is situated in Krishna consciousness may not have any interest in the world, he still works to teach the public how to live and how to act. Experienced persons in Krishna consciousness can act in such a way that others will follow, and this is explained in the following verse. Lord Krishna gives the example of Janak Maharaj as someone whose example is to be followed. Janak Maharaj, of course, lived a very long time ago. Krishna is manifestation, direct manifestation in this world, was a long time ago. But even Janak was a long time before Krishna. But still the example is given. We can look to the past for examples, and that's our process. We have the 12 Mahajans, famous. The famous Mahajan, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manahu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmas, Dalir, Vyasakir, Vayam. 12 names are given. And any great devotee is a Mahajan. And they all, their example is to be looked to. They lived in the past, but we in the present can take example from them. I'm bringing this subject up because I want to address something that was told to me recently by a devotee living in the Harinam Ashram in New York City, where devotees go out every day, 365 days a year, and 366 if it's a leap year, for 6 hours every day, chanting the holy names of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. In the warmer months, they go in some park where many people come. I can't remember the name of that park. I went there once with them. And in the colder months, and it's quite cold there in New York throughout much of the year, probably still, they go in the subway, which is where they have an underground train network. There's not enough space. So many people crammed in that they don't have enough space overground for people to move around, so thousands of people move underground. So, and they go there and chant, and they distribute books, and they go and their devotional clothes, if we're allowed to use that phrase, because according to some highly learned members of ISKCON, there's no such thing as devotional clothes. It's all the same. It's all one. So this one devotee who is living in the Harinam Ashram, he told me that he and other members of the ashram are often told by members of another ashram or those who are affiliated to another ashram in New York City that they, the devotees in the Harinam Ashram, are living in the past. It's a scornful accusation. Because those connected in another ashram, they have a different approach to what they call preaching and a different approach to Krishna consciousness altogether, it seems. The supposition behind it all. Living in the past is only four words, but there's a lot of implication, a lot implied within it. So in the other ashram, they see that, well, in the 1960s and 1970s, devotees used to go out and chant in public, but nowadays we should do something different because I don't know exactly why because, but anyway, their idea is that if we just present Krishna consciousness straightforwardly, not many people will be interested, so we should throw in a good dose of New Age and Mayavad, and don't promote Krishna very straightforwardly, and don't say this is the absolute truth, and be friendly to one and all, especially to various Mayavadis, and throw in some yoga. And actually, it does appear to be a fact that there are many people in the West who are interested in quote unquote Indian spirituality, but they're not very interested in, they're not interested to become Hindus or wear Indian clothes or eat Indian food, maybe sometimes not as a regular diet. They don't particularly like Indian people. They want to remain Westerners, but do some yoga and have some fuzzy sounding kind of Mayavad, be here now, and today is the first day of the rest of your life, and all these kind of things. So this feel-good kind of spirituality is very popular in the Western countries. Probably in Australia also, maybe. I don't think as much as in America, because Australians, they're not so superficial. Americans are notoriously superficial, whereas Australians are pretty down-to-earth people. If they don't like you, they punch you in the face. And then they make friends with you. At least it used to be like that. Then they just, you know, they're very down-to-earth people, so maybe it's not as popular. But Australia's really, they seem to model themselves more on America than on Britain, isn't it? And
I think the Australians are getting there in terms of, you know,
superficiality. Yeah, they became more sophisticated. So anyway, it is a fact that many people are interested in Indian spirituality, but mostly of the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, fuzzy wuzzy New Age, so-called being spiritual without being religious. In other words, you just imagine yourself to be spiritual and be a vegan and give yourself a vitamin B12 injection every so often and like this, and support causes like ecological causes and things like that. So it is a fact that many people are interested in Indian spirituality, and then you get into the whole Krishna West thing. So there's another a whole approach to preaching in the Western countries. That anyway, somehow or other, you get people to chant Hare Krishna, and don't preach to them anything they don't want to hear. Like, for instance, surrender to Krishna, or that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't say things like that, because people might not like it. But they can chant Hare Krishna and feel themselves to be one with God, something like that. The implication is that you are living in the past. You are off. You are a I used to get called a dinosaur. They used to call myself and others who like to stick to the old way of Krishna consciousness, dinosaur, because the idea is that that's all out of date. But the dinosaurs, we don't get called that much now because they're probably thinking we're going to go extinct, but we're not. We're still around. There are still deviants like myself who prefer to chant Hare Krishna and follow the program that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Anyway, what I'm going to say now is not expected to change anyone's mind or change these neo-Mayavadis who chant Hare Krishna and mix in a good dose of New Age and change their mind, but just to reassure those who are under attack that actually it is good to live in the past, in the sense that, yeah, just like we look to the example of Janak Maharaj and the great Mahajana. So in that sense, it's good to live in the past. Times have changed, no doubt. But still, the four great problems facing human society, Janma Mrityu, Jara Vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease, that hasn't changed. Krishna is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though when Prabhupada wasn't here, there were no iPads and there was no internet. But still, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's nothing that's going to change that. And probably those who make the accusation that you're living in the past, they won't deny that, but they won't promote it either. And there's a difference. This idea of living in the past, implied in that, is this very Western idea that we're always making, human society is making progress. Before, we were cavemen, and then we were hunters and gatherers, and then we invented the wheel, and we discovered fire, and we tamed nature, and we went to countries like India and showed those savages how to speak English and eat meat. And well, of course, there was meat eating in India previously, but and in this way, we're making more and more progress. That's the idea. Whereas, actually, according to Shastra, which we as followers of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara are supposed to believe in and accept, time brings degradation, especially in Kali Yuga. But brings degradation means there's Satya Yuga, and then follows worse, which is Dwarapa Yuga, and then worse is Treta Yuga, then Dwarapa Yuga, then Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, the situation is so bad that tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam shocham kshamadaya kalena. Yeah, sorry, I mean, it's really a fact. Crying won't help. Satyam shocham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan. Don't worry, you can chant Hare Krishna also. But the fact is that in Kali Yuga, things get worse day by day. Dharma declines, truthfulness declines, cleanliness and purity in human society decline, tolerance declines, compassion, mercy declines, despite people like the Dalai, the meat-eating Dalai Lama going around and talking about peace and love and compassion while he eats big plates of meat every day. Compassion is declining. That's truthfulness declining. There you are. You can just see how superficial people are. That they, in the West, this Dalai Lama is a big hit among people who think that they're being spiritual, but he's a big meat eater. Anyway, Doya, then, by the mighty influence of time, Kalena Balina Raja, Nangshantayo Balang Spirit, lifespan decreases in Kali Yuga, and physical and mental strength decline. So, Kalena Balina Rajan, so that we have the same words appear in the well-known verse of Bhagavad Gita, evang parampara praptam evang raja ashayo viduhu sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. That the knowledge which is passed down in human society, from in the society of kings, the highly elevated people, cultured people, by the mighty influence of time, that became lost. So time is degrading and then change is degrading. Parampara, the Krishna uses the word parampara, which gives the idea, just like Krishna himself spoke, that what is that first verse of the fourth chapter? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, imang vivasvate yogam, this yoga, I'm speaking about yoga, and Krishna wasn't talking about people doing exercises for health. He's talking, Srila Prabhupada translates that in the third verse of chapter 4, that very ancient science of one's relationship with the Supreme. He uses the word yoga again in the third verse. Eva yang maya teja, yoga prokta puratana. Yoga prokta puratana. I spoke this old puratana. I spoke what I spoke long ago in the past. Bhaktosi me sakache tira hasyam he tadutamam. I'm speaking to you again, Arjuna, because you're my friend and my disciple. So what he spoke in the past was good, but it had become changed in course of time, and therefore it had become lost. So the idea there is that change is dangerous. Follow what was given in the past. Elsewhere, a little later in Gita, Krishna says, Kuru karma eva tasmat tvam purvataram kritam. You should do your work, Krishna tells Arjuna, in the manner that it was done in the past. Now, of course, there is a consideration of adjustment to time, place, and circumstance. That consideration is also there. But basically, the point is that we should follow the example that we receive from the great personalities who have preceded us. And especially, we are supposed to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared to bring something new in his Sankirtan movement. He introduced the eternal process of Sankirtan, but it's not that it was new, but it wasn't very common in human society at that time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does that. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. But acting as the Yuga avatar, he introduces Harinam Sankirtan. But that doesn't mean that any Tom, Dick and Harry can come along and introduce something. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduces. Living in the past, well, by chanting Hare Krishna, devotees live in the eternal present, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally chanting Hare Krishna. He's chanting Hare Krishna right now. And we can join him by chanting Hare Krishna. Not by doing yoga exercises and chanting Om, because that's not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does. So this idea, living in the past, that worked in the 1960s and 1970s, but let's face it, No one's interested nowadays. So let's try something different. But this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method. I'm going to read from a letter from Srila Prabhupada, which is relevant in this regard. Srila Prabhupada wrote, regarding your question of a dancing show, whatever it may be, it may not deviate from the real Krishna consciousness program. So there's a real Krishna consciousness program, Srila Prabhupada refers to, and there may be other things also. We are Hari Kirtan men, that's all. That's all, Hari Kirtan men. We can attract people by some gorgeous show, but then inside there must be strict purity and seriousness. Otherwise, we shall be attracted by the gorgeous show only. There are two energies always working simultaneously, and Maya means when we diminish the spiritual energy, then automatically we become attracted to the external dress of Maya. So Srila Prabhupada's warning that if we do something else, we introduce something which might be a gorgeous show and attractive to others, but if it's Maya, we become attracted to that, then we're in trouble. Srila Prabhupada wrote, our message is very grave. That's an important point. Our message is very grave. It's not a joke show. Sometimes those who have been trained in Krishna consciousness, they resort to jokes, a joke show. But Srila Prabhupada didn't approve of that. He said, our message is very grave. Isn't it when Krishna spoke on the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he didn't tell any jokes. There are no jokes in Bhagavad Gita. It's a very grave matter. So our message is very grave, and because it is the absolute truth, it will work without any artificial presentation. Because they heard of our program in Bombay along with the Zaveri sisters' Manipuri dancers, here in London they had arranged one program of lecturing by me along with a recital by one man playing on the veena just to attract attention to my speaking. You see, Prabhupada was giving a public lecture and they had someone in the background to make it sound more attractive. Srila Prabhupada wrote about this, I am not in approval of such arrangements, and it will be a dangerous thing in the future if we bring this type of program just to attract the masses. So the whole idea of preaching is to attract the masses. Well, maybe, really to attract sincere souls, but who are they? You have to go out in the masses to find them. But Prabhupada is cautioning about trying to attract the masses. Prabhupada wrote, already I see this happening practically all over the society. This was in 1972. Srila Prabhupada saw this dilution or trying to make things popular for the public in the way that the public will like it, but at the same time it detracts from the gravity of the Krishna consciousness message. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, better we stop it now and get ourselves firmly on the track chalked out for us by Lord Chaitanya. We are simply Sankirtan men. Our program is chanting, dancing, distributing prasadam, and speaking high philosophy, that's all. So that's what the devotees in the Harinam Ashram in New York are doing. No tricks, no gimmicks. They chant Hare Krishna, they distribute Prabhupada's books, prasadam, and straightforward philosophy. So don't be discouraged. If anyone, so many people may try to discourage you. Don't be discouraged. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. That is Srila Prabhupada's program, and he is emphasizing that this is what he wants. So we want to do what Srila Prabhupada wants. Another letter from Srila Prabhupada to a devotee who is interested in using his musical talents for presenting Krishna consciousness. Now, Krishna consciousness, in one way, it's all about music, singing, which means music. And actually, in the 1960s and 1970s, most of the devotees who came to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, they're very much into music. They're coming from the hippie background, the hippies were into this rock music, which is all new. And many of the devotees were actually musicians themselves. And some of them, they had the idea, well, we want to do music for something more than our regular mridanga and kartals. We want to do some musically talented. We could use that. Here in India, I see that many devotees who get really into the musical side of kirtan, they tend to become ghost their head a bit, isn't it? They become, with their harmonium, this it becomes very showy. It's not necessarily that someone who's a good singer is showy. I mean, there are many devotees who sing very nicely and very sincerely for Krishna, but there, the showiness is there also. Anyway, to a devotee who had written to Srila Prabhupada that he wanted to utilize his musical talents for spreading Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said, my opinion. And Srila Prabhupada gives his opinion, then who are we to argue with it? It's just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita several times, matam mama, that's my eye. Well, as far as I'm concerned, what is that? Yoginam, there's one example, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomang yo me. What's wrong with my same yuktatamo mataha? That is my opinion, Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, Krishna says, the best of all yogis is one who's always absorbed in me, having taken me into his heart with full faith and worships me with full faith. So Srila Prabhupada says here, my opinion is that it is not necessary for us to utilize these different musical talents for spreading Krishna consciousness. I would rather see people follow strictly the path of Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan devotees. Take note, you in the Harinam Ashram who are probably well aware of these quotes. We are using mridanga and kartal, that is enough. We are not musicians, we are Krishna bhaktas. Therefore, we do not stress so much on these different musical talents. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. Had he thought it would have been better to spread Krishna consciousness by another way, he would have done so. But no, simply with mridanga and kartals, traveling and chanting Hare Krishna, asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna, preaching simply Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy, this is the process. There is no need for us to try and add anything to this simple method. It will only be a distraction. Therefore, I request you to follow the simple path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help me spread this wonderful mission all over the world. Keep yourself pure and fixed up in Krishna consciousness by following the basic principles that I have given, chanting 16 rounds daily, following the four regulated principles, rising early, attending Mangalarti and classes, etc. This is of the utmost importance. So this letter from Srila Prabhupada pretty much answers the whole accusation that, well, you're just living in the past and we're doing something better. Because Prabhupada says, mridanga, kartal, chanting Hare Krishna, preaching simple Bhagavatam philosophy, this is the process. There is no need for us to try and add anything to this simple method. It will only be a distraction. That's pretty much the answer to anyone who wants to try any newfangled idea of bringing people to chant Hare Krishna by doing yoga and so many different things and talking in a way. Some of our devotees, I guess, I don't know, they've perfected the art of speaking in this vague way so that you can if you're a devotee, it sounds like you're talking to a devotee. And if you're a Mayavadi, it sounds good also. Just like when you become fully humble, then you can see God in your heart. And devotees think, oh, that sounds great. And the Mayavadis also think, well, that sounds great. Yeah, become humble, make a show. Then I can see God in my heart. Yeah, yeah. They don't make it clear. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God, a very, very vague term, which the Mayavadi likes to think, well, that's me, isn't it? That's I am one, you are one, but I'm a little bit more one than all of you. Actually, quite a lot more one, but anyway, we're all one. I am you, and you are me, and we are all together, sitting on a cornflake, and all this kind of thing. So, all right. Not all right. Is it all right? Well, it's all right if we follow what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. It seems to little me incredibly arrogant, those who think that they've got a better process than that given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's representative, the Acharya of the whole universe, specifically says, just do this, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, and still we think we have some better process, and we scorn and make fun of those who follow that simple process. Just seems like a lot of arrogance. But then, those who are doing this yoga, Mayavad, New Age, don't burn anyone out kind of program, whatever it is, you'll say, but oh, we're getting so many people to chant Hare Krishna. Maybe they don't. Maybe they get many people to chant. For that matter, Sai Baba of the frizzy hairstyle until his hair fell out. But he was famous with the big hair. Well, he also got many, many followers who were chanting Hare. I don't know if they're chanting Hare Krishna so much, but they had their favorite song, Govinda, 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 Govinda. You heard them, as you know. Once we had a traveling party. We were up at, on the way to Sri Sailam, there's that Nagarjuna Dam, there's some township there for the engineers who run that dam. So we were up there, we had our traveling party distributing books. We'd go out early morning, every morning, chanting Hare Krishna. And then then we saw this group, they were also chanting something, and they came and joined us. All, you know, educated people listening. So they said, oh, you can come to our temple. I said, okay. And they tell us, Sai Baba temple. They were chanting early in the morning, but they were completely in Maya because they're followers of Sai Baba. So they thought I'd like it. Anyway, I went there and they did an aarti and they brought the flame to me first. I didn't take it. Then it all finished and I just told them, look, you're pious people, but you're being cheated by this Sai Baba. They didn't like it. If I'd have smiled and said, how nice, they would have liked it. I told them, it's not nice, which is true. They didn't like it. What am I supposed to do? They were chanting the names of Krishna. One thing is, there's this other center where they get people to chant. They do a little yoga and get people to chant and this and that. But those people, they'll never go. They'll never join the public chanting of Hare Krishna. They'll never distribute Prabhupada's books. I don't know if they'll even read Prabhupada's books. Maybe discourage them from that. One devotee in America told me that they don't even encourage people to, they don't encourage people to read Prabhupada's books because they think they're too heavy and people won't like it. Anyway, their claim is we get so many people to chant. They're getting so many followers. Here's a letter from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. Never mind that some other Christian movements are getting many followers. The competition is beneficial for us. Everything is beneficial for Krishna consciousness if it is utilized properly. That is the art. Anything without substance will not last. Let it sink in. So just demonstrate sincerely that we have got solid ground beneath us, not that we have only some sentiment. Only sentiment. No solid ground. That's all. Many fanatical spiritual movements have come and gone, but without the flawless philosophy of Krishna, they cannot stand. Therefore, I want especially that my books and literature should be distributed profusely. This is our substance, real philosophical information, not some weak sentiments. So we find that those who are not living in the past, they don't like to give or preach from that ancient knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam. So they write books with just all sentiment, but with no actual philosophical information, and promote that. Prabhupada said, this is our substance, real philosophical information, not some weak sentiments. So try for this, to give all men this Krishna philosophy. So that's important also. Not just to get people to chant, but to give them the real philosophy of Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam. And many real devotees will come with us back to home, back to Godhead. You see the term real devotees? So to get many people to chant, but I don't know how, even if they're getting so many people to chant. You hear this, they've been talking about this Krishna West for years. This is the way to spread Krishna. This is the real way to do it. And laughing at devotees who wear dhotis, but for all their laughing and mocking for years and years, where are all the hundreds and thousands of people in the West who they're making devotees by not wearing dhotis? Where are they? There's just talk. They're not doing anything. This is from a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, Guru Kripa. He was talking about one group, Siddha Swarupananda's group, who they basically had the idea, don't dress in dhotis, don't shave your head, don't emphasize rules and regulations, don't tell people to rise early. And actually they did get many people to chant with them. They used to chant Hari Bol a lot. Not so much Hare Krishna. They'd go on the streets and they'd have guitars, and they got many people to follow for some time. But like Srila Prabhupada said, without substance they won't last. They're still going on. Their group is going on. Guru Kripa said, they, referring to that group under Siddha Swarupananda, they have created their own way to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that idea is there. They are thinking of their own way. That is bad. We have got so many literatures. They are printing their own literature. That is disturbing. Yes. What he'll prepare? He's not a liberated person. He's thinking, somebody said that, I'll give my interpretation on Bhagavat. It is against our principles. So Srila Prabhupada was saying, it's not good. They didn't like to distribute Prabhupada's books, and this Siddha Swarupananda wrote his own books in which he gave some kind of many of the ideas of Krishna consciousness, but with his own take on it, and deliberately not stressing anything which might disturb people's minds, not stressing regulative principles or anything like this. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't against, or he wanted his disciples to write, but it should be exactly in the line that he had given. So then the next thing in this conversation, Guru Kripa said that he said to Srila Prabhupada, you know how to spread Krishna consciousness, therefore I follow. I don't even know what Krishna is, I'm just trying to follow, therefore that will be successful. So that is the attitude. I'm not some big great acharya who's got some great ideas. We just try to follow. Purvai purvataram kritam. Do what was done in the past, just follow that. So, yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chanted, but he also promoted Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada chanted. He promoted the distribution of these books. in which the science of Krishna consciousness is given very straightforwardly, very clearly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasa Bhas Shunile Nahoi Prabhur Chitte Ulash. That if anything was spoken which was against the principles of pure devotional service, or there was improper mixing of mellows, Shunile Prabhur Nahoi Chitte Ulash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not happy with that. Oh. This is number one. So what are we promoting? We're promoting the message of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And from one center, they're promoting very clearly that message. What is that message? Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. That is Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. He distinguished. This is Krishna and Krishna consciousness, and everything else is not for our welfare. This Mayavadi mishmash is not for the welfare of all. It's cheating religion. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God-realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Now, Srila Prabhupada, his mission was Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne, in the Western countries, to uproot, to save people from this impersonalism and voidism, which is very dangerous. It's especially dangerous because it sounds spiritual, and in some ways it is spiritual, but it's in as much as there is acceptance that the soul is different from the body, or even the Mayavadis, they may not emphasize anything so much. But what it does, it gives little bits and pieces of the real thing. Like they may quote from the Upanishads and from the Bhagavad Gita. So little bits of truth, but ultimately they don't show Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or they're very reticent to show that. Or they may be actually totally opposed to that. They don't like that. So because they give bits and pieces of the real thing, it may appear to be very spiritual. But ultimately it fails to deliver it, or it hides it. That is called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, when you don't want to state openly what the actual reality is, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna. Or you may give that, but then mix it up. That's called an upper sampradaya. What are these upper sampradayas? These Prakrita Sahajiyas. They also chant Hare Krishna, but they have some wrong ideas. So we should be very careful. We give the chanting, just like the upper sampradaya. They'll quote Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastreva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In the Kali Yuga, the holy name is the only way. Holy name of Krishna is the only way to achieve the ultimate destination. But that only, That only way means you have to follow the process given by the acharyas. You can't mix Mayavad with it and still get the same result. So that is the mistake of the upper sampradayas. They say, well, as long as you're chanting, it doesn't matter what else you do, or philosophy doesn't matter. You just chant, that's all. Okay, I think I'll finish there for now because there's quite a lot more to say. But what I'm getting at here is that even if you have a deity of Srila Prabhupada in your temple room and say, Jai Srila Prabhupada, and you're supposed to be a disciple of Prabhupada, but if you give the message differently, then it becomes cheating religion or it becomes an upper sampradaya. And then you get this process of how by the parampara is there, but it becomes changed. How does that happen? Because someone changes it, because someone says something different. Krishna spoke to Imang Vivasvate Yogam, Krishna spoke to Vivasvan, Vivasvan spoke to Manu, Manu spoke to Ikshvaku, Ikshvaku spoke to someone else. At some point, someone who had heard the right thing spoke the wrong thing. And then the disciple of that person spoke the wrong thing to someone else. Or the right thing mixed with the wrong thing. If Ikshvaku had said that, to his disciples, that, actually Krishna's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Amma Amrita Anandamayi is the Supreme Personality of Goddess, or something like that, then they would have said, hey, get out of here, you're bogus. We hope they would have said that. But he maybe just said a little something, just a little something different. Little. And then someone else says something, next generation says something little, and then someone, and then it all gets gone. So, living in the past. Yeah, that's our idea. Live in the present, looking back to the example of the previous acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada, we can say in terms of time, he's also in the past. But his message is eternal. We don't want to change it. Okay, I'll plan on speaking something more about this tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Anything? Questions? Comments? Empty beer bottles? No, people don't do that in India. Throw empty beer bottles. Did you ever see there was a video recording of Sridhar Swami, who passed away some years ago, at this Woodstock festival in Poland. So he was speaking, and he was really heavy that this illicit sex, you're just living like animals. Like this. He was really heavy at all these hippies there. And then someone threw an empty beer bottle at him. That's the kind of thing that people do in civilized countries when they don't like you. Not a full beer bottle, they drink it first. It's more dangerous if it's full. It's more heavy. So it just landed and he looked and he said, not my brand. And went on speaking. So, yeah, you wanted to say something?
Yes. Prabhupada also gave example that even if we don't know the content of the medicine...
Even if we don't know the content of the medicine, it still acts. Yeah. There's so much, so many things. But then, have to give the medicine in the right way also. You may, just like you were saying, Haryanama Eva Kevalam. But then you have to follow the principles also. You have to get the right philosophy also. So if you say you don't know the medicine, even if you don't know it'll act, but the doctor, is, as well as giving the medicine, he gives the right diet, and then don't strain yourself, and he gives so much advice, which you also have to follow. Many people, they just, I'm unfit. There's no pill you can take. You can take some, they have these, they call them energy drinks or something, heavy caffeines in it, maybe something else. But If you want to be fit, you have to do exercise. You just can't take a pill or an energy drink. The children, they don't have to. They see automatically. They're just jumping here and there. They don't need to do any exercise program. Yeah. Do the followers of Sai Baba get any benefit by chanting Govinda, Govinda? Now, I remember that back in the 1970s, there was some leaflet going around with extracts from Srila Prabhupada's letters and things that Prabhupada said. And they're not in the Veda base. So this very question Prabhupada answered. Because many of the letters that Prabhupada wrote, he sent them to individuals and then they got lost. And so many things got lost. So this very question, do the followers of Sai Baba get any benefit from chanting the holy names? Prabhupada said, yes. They'll have to suffer the results of their offenses, and then after that, they can get some benefit. But then if they continue with that, I don't remember that Prabhupada said this. He also, there was some, many things. And what else was there? Someone asked, what happens if someone thinks of Jesus at the time of death? And Prabhupada said, they'll go to where Jesus is, Prabhupada said. Scientific. So like that. What I see, the followers of Sai Baba, they're mostly pious people. But not seriously spiritual. They all want material benefits. So they can be easily misled. I'm talking about the Satya Sai Baba, whose popularity plummeted. It used to be very high, especially in all over South India, especially in Andhra Pradesh, but especially in South India, all over South India. I don't know about Kerala. Kerala's always different. But we found they're very pious people, but they can be very easily misled. Yeah. Up to the present day, we find the Telugu people, probably more than any others, they want something religious, but then so many are converting to Christianity. They want some leadership or something like that. Not because no one's going to them to preach something else, so they convert to Christianity. But that's also completely materialistic, the way they promote Christianity. Nothing spiritual. There is some spiritual message in Christianity also. I mean, there are seriously spiritual people in Christianity who are actually interested in God, but the way Christianity is mostly practiced and preached, it's very materialistic. What God can do for you, what you get from being Christian, and this and that. Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.